Welcome to Torah Tzimacha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Stacey Nechama Goldman, and today we will be studying Sefer Daniel, Perek Tet. In this perek, we move forward from the last Babylonian king, Belshazzar, to the first year of Dariavish the Mede. We have already encountered this king and this year in Perek Vav, the famous story of how the king was forced to throw Daniel into the lion's den for breaking the law that his jealous advisors convinced him to enact, targeting Daniel in his thrice daily prayer schedule. Interestingly, this parak consists entirely of Daniel's heartfelt tefillah to end the galut. Perhaps, as some modern day commentators have suggested, this parak is the content of that very prayer that Daniel uttered before he was thrown into the lion's den and then miraculously saved. Daniel begins by telling us the impetus of his tefillah. His calculation of the years from the beginning of the exile, which was meant to last 70 years according to the prophecy of Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu's original calculation can be found in two places in his Sefer, in Perek Chaf Hei Yud Aleph and Yud Bet, and all this land shall become waste and desolation, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. Ve'ayta kol haaretz hazot l'charba l'shama ve'avdu ha'goyim ha'ela et melech bavel shiv'im shana. And it shall be at the completion of 70 years, I will visit upon the king of Babylon and upon that nation, says the Lord, their iniquity, and upon the land of the Chaldeans, and I will make it for everlasting desolations. Ve'ya kimlot shiv'im shana efkod al melech bavel ve'al hagoy ha'hu ne'um Hashem et avonam ve'al eretz kastim ve'samti oto l'shimamot olam. And also, Perek Chavtet, Pasuk Yod. For so said the Lord, for at the completion of 70 years of Babylon, I will remember you, and I will fulfill my good word toward you, to restore you to this place. Ki cho amar Hashem, ki lefi mal'ot lebavel shiv'im shana, efkod etchem v'hakimoti aleichem et devari hatov, lehashiv etchem el hamakom hazeh. The issue with these statements is that Yirmiyahu is not clear as to when the 70-year count begins. The Gemara, beginning in Megillah 11b, goes through several historical figures who miscalculated based on the wrong start date, including Belshazzar and Achashverosh, the one who ruled during the Purim story after Dariavish the Mede in our perek. The Gemara also includes Daniel with those who miscalculated in Megillah 12a. Rava said, Daniel also erred in this calculation, as it is written, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, meditated in the books over the number of the years, whereof the word of the Lord came to Yirmiyahu the prophet that he would accomplish for the desolations of Jerusalem 70 years. Daniel 9:2. From the fact that he said, I meditated, a term indicating recounting and calculating, it can be inferred that he had previously erred. In our perek, Rashi explains in Pasuk Bet how Daniel calculated and how he was mistaken based on both the Gemara cited above and Seder Olam Rabbah. It is a bit long, but for clarity, we will read it in its entirety. The number of the years, etc. I contemplated the calculation of the years, for I thought about what Yirmiyahu in Perek Chavtet Yud prophesied, for at the completion of 70 years of Babylon, I will remember you. And I thought that this remembrance is the building of the temple, and that the 70 years end in the first year of Dariavish the Mede, since the kingdom of Babylon stretched forth a hand upon Israel when Nebuchadnezzar vanquished Jehoiakim to be his slave. Now that was in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, as the Master said in Megillah 11b, in the first year he conquered Nineveh, in the second year he went up and vanquished Jehoiakim. Figure from that year until now, and you will find them, the 70 years. This calculation is also found in the Mishnah of Seder Olam in chapter 28. And we learn there that in the year of Belshazzar's death, were 70 years from the day that Nebuchadnezzar ascended the throne. 70 minus 1, since the day that he conquered Jehoiakim, and yet one more year for Babylon, which Dariavish completed. And when I, Daniel, saw that the redemption was not hastening to come, I contemplated and put my heart to the calculation, and I knew that I should not have counted according to the conquest of Jehoiakim, but according to the destruction of Yerushalayim, when 70 years will be complete from the exile of Tzidkiyahu, when Yerushalayim was destroyed, and there are yet 18 years to come. For this exile was in the 18th year, counting from the conquest of Jehoiakim. As we learned in Seder Olam, they were exiled in the 7th year, They were exiled in the 8th year. They were exiled in the 18th year. They were exiled in the 19th year. Our sages in Masechet Megillah 11b explained that they were exiled in the exile of Jehoniah in the 7th year, counting from the conquest of Jehoiakim, which is the 8th year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. They were exiled the second time in the 18th year, counting from the conquest of Jehoiakim, which is the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. Rav Meidan of Yeshivat Har Etzion proposes a novel solution, one in which Daniel does not make a mistake in his calculation, but rather understands that the passage of time is only one component of our return from exile. The continuation of the Psukim in Perek Chavtet of Yirmiyahu describe a process of return. In Pasuk Yud Bet, you shall call me and go and pray to me, and I will hearken to you. Yud Gimel, and you will seek me and find me, for you will seek me with all your heart. And Yud Dalet, and I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will return your captivity and gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will return you to the place whence I exiled you. Perhaps, Rav Meidan suggests, Daniel's prayer was not a result of despair that the Geula had not taken place after a mistaken 70-year count, but rather the beginning of the redemptive process, as laid out in these psukim of Yirmiyahu. Daniel begins his tefillah in Pasuk Dalet. As I read his words, it should sound both familiar and yet lacking to you. And I prayed to the Lord my God, and I confessed. And I said, please, O Lord, O great and awesome God, who keeps the covenant and the loving kindness to those who love him and keep his commandments. Ve'et palala l'Hashem Elokai, ve'et vadeh, ve'omra, ana Hashem hakel, hagadol, ve'hanora, shomer habrit ve'hachesed lo'avav u'leshomrei mitzvotav. Did you notice what was missing? In the Shemona Esrei, we refer to Hashem as hakel hagadol hagibur ve'hanora. This string of powerful adjectives is based on how Moshe Rabbeinu referred to Hashem in Devarim, Perek Yud. For the Lord your God is God of gods and the Lord of the lords, the great, mighty, and awesome God, who will show no favor, nor will he take a bribe. Ki Hashem Elokeichem hu Elokei ha'Elohim v'Adonai ha'Adonim hakel ha'gadol ha'gibor v'hanora asher lo yisa panim v'lo yikach shochad. The Gemara in Yoma 69b offers an explanation for why Daniel left out Hagibor. As Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi said, why are the sages of those generations called the members of the Great Assembly? It is because they returned the crown of the Holy One, blessed be He, to its former glory. How so? Moshe came and said in his prayer, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God. Deuteronomy 10:17. Yirmiyahu the prophet came and said, Gentiles, i.e. the minions of Nebuchadnezzar, are carousing in a sanctuary. Where is his awesomeness? Therefore, he did not say awesome in his prayer. The great God, the mighty Lord of hosts, is his name. Yirmiyahu 32:18. Daniel came and said, Gentiles are enslaving his children. Where is his might? Therefore, he did not say mighty in his prayer, the great and awesome God. Daniel 9:4. The members of the Great Assembly came and said, on the contrary, this is the might of his might. This is the fullest expression of it, that he conquers his inclination in that he exercises patience toward the wicked. Rather than criticizing Yirmiyahu and Daniel for leaving out these words, the Gemara praises them. The Gemara asks, and the rabbis, i.e. Yirmiyahu and Daniel, how could they do this and uproot an ordinance instituted by Moshe, the greatest teacher who instituted the mention of these attributes in prayer? Rabbi Elazar said, they did so because they knew of the Holy One, blessed be He, that He is truthful and hates a lie. Consequently, they did not speak falsely about Him. Since they did not perceive His attributes of might and awesomeness, they did not refer to them. Therefore, they cannot be criticized for doing so. After the introductory pasuk to his tefillah, Daniel turns to a form of vidui, a confessional. It contains many elements which form our modern-day vidui. You can especially hear it in Pasuk Hei. We have sinned and have dealt iniquitously, we have dealt wickedly and have rebelled, turning away from your commandments and from your ordinances. Chatanu ve'avinu hirshanu maradnu v'sor mimitzvotecha mishpatecha. In his explanation to the Siddur, Rabbi Elazar of Worms, the Rokeach, makes a direct connection between the Vidui prayer and this passage of Daniel. In fact, the placement of Vidui right before Tachanun is especially connected to Daniel, as you will find many psukim from our parak throughout Tachanun. Daniel's prayer is on behalf of all of Israel, and Pasuk Zayin, according to the Malbim's interpretation, is especially inclusive. To you, our Lord, is the righteousness, and to us is the shamefacedness as of this day. To the people of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel, both near and far, in all the lands to which you have driven them for the treachery that they have perpetrated toward you. Lecha Hashem Hatzdaka, v'lanu boshet apanim kayom hazeh, le'ish Yehuda u'le'yoshvei Yerushalayim u'lechol Yisrael hakrovim v'harechokim, v'chol ha'aretzot asher hidachtam sham b'malam asher ma'alu bach. Malbim explains that near and far refers to both the exiles of Yehuda and the 10 tribes who were banished to lands much further away. Psukim Yud Bet through Yud Dalet describe the consequences and punishments that were meted out to the Jewish people as a result of their sins. Malbim explains that this refers to the curses found in both Vayikra and Devarim. The content of Psukim Tet Vav through Yud Tet is Daniel's actual supplication for Hashem to hear his prayer and return his people to their land and forgive them. Pasuk Tet Vav refers to Hashem as the one who took us out of Mitzrayim. And now, O Lord our God, who took your people out of the land of Egypt with a strong hand, and you have made for yourself a name as of this day. We have sinned, we have dealt wickedly. V'ata Hashem Elokeinu asher hotzeta et amcha me'aretz Mitzrayim b'yad chazaka v'tas lecha shem kayom hazeh chatanu rashanu. Malbim explains that just as they were not worthy of being redeemed, and yet Hashem took them out with a strong hand for the sake of his name from Egypt, so too should he do now when his name is even greater in the world. The supplication ends in Pasuk Yod Tet with an appeal for Hashem to save them for the sake of his name. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Do not delay for your sake, my God, for your name is called upon your city and upon your people. Hashem, Shema'a. Hashem, Slacha, Hashem, Hakshivu Vase, Al Tachar, Lamancha Elokai, Kishimcha Nikra, Al Yercha Veal Amecha. At the end of Daniel's tefillah, the Malach Gavriel came to him in a vision. He explained to him the degree of 70 years in Pasuk Chaf Dalet. 70 weeks of years have been decreed upon your people and upon the city of your sanctuary to terminate the transgression and to end sin, and to expiate iniquity, and to bring eternal righteousness, and to seal up vision and prophet, and to anoint the Holy of Holies. Shvuim shivim nechtach al amacha, ve'al ir kodshecha, l'chale ha'pesha, u'lehatem chata'ot, u'lechaper avon, u'lehavit tzedek olamim, v'lachtom chazon v'navi, v'limshoach kodesh kodshim. The Gemara in Nazir 32b understands this to refer to the amount of time this limited geula will last until the second temple will be destroyed. Abayi said, and did they not know when? But isn't it written, 77s are decreed upon your people and upon your sacred city, Daniel 9:24, which indicates that the second temple would be destroyed 70 sabbatical cycles of 70 years after the destruction of the first temple, which is 490 years. This is the opinion adopted by most commentaries, that the 7 weeks allude to the 490 years between the destruction of the first temple and the destruction of the second temple. This period includes within it the 70 years of desolation from the destruction of the first temple until the second year of the reign of Dariavish, the Persian, when the building of the second temple commenced, and the 420 years that the second temple stood. Malbim understands the 70 years as a reference to the length of the Babylonian exile, which was a punishment for the amount of time they forsook the laws of Shemitah, as predicted in the curses in Vayikra, specifically Perek Chafav, Pasuk Lamed Dalet. Then the land will be appeased regarding its sabbaticals. During all the days that it remains desolate, while you are in the land of your enemies, the land will rest and thus appease its sabbaticals. Malbim continues to explain that the Jewish people had many additional sins beyond the Shemitah years, which is implied in the 70 weeks of years, or 77 times 70 equaling 490, which is the amount of time the second temple stood. The punishment for these other sins did not have to take place in exile. So while we were allowed back in the land of Israel, we did not enjoy full autonomy. In fact, we were subjugated to the authorities of three different kingdoms, Mede and Persia, one kingdom, Greek, and then the Roman Empire, under which they suffered many tragedies, which served to atone for all the other sins they accumulated during the time of the first Beit HaMikdash. Malbim also explains our pasuk to say that with proper tshuva, we would have been able to end the galut after those 490 years. Unfortunately, we did not heed the message and continue to suffer today in this long exile. Rashi explains that Gavriel's explanation to Daniel continues all the way into the future, to the death of Agrippus, the last king of Yehuda at the time of the destruction of Beit Sheni, and even further, all the way until the war of Gog and Magog and the ascension of the King Mashiach. May it happen speedily in our days. Thank you for studying together Lilui Nishmat Rose Foreman, Rachel Rachel Bat Aryeh Leib, and Rachel Zeitlin, Rachel Bat Shlomo.